In our drama, Mary and Joseph end up missing out, don't they, in the inn. I wonder if you're someone who doesn't mind missing out. Just imagine for a moment, Christmas Day in your house, you wake up, you look to the end of your bed, you scan around the carpet, you go downstairs and check the fireplace, but there isn't a stocking for you. Everyone else has got theirs. They're already chomping through their chocolate goods, but you don't have anything. You've missed out. You manage to pull yourself together, and you get to lunchtime, and you can smell the turkey and the stuffing in the kitchen. The potatoes, they're perfectly crisp, and the sausages wrapped in bacon, there's loads of them, and they're piled right up high. But then you go into the lounge or the dining room, and the chair that you normally sit on isn't there. Been broken and put in the fire to make a nice fire, keep everyone else warm. And you look at the table, there's not a plate. There's not any cutlery either. You're missing out on your Christmas dinner. You wipe away the tears. Later on in the afternoon, you get to that great present opening ceremony, and you're given the task of handing out the presents to everybody. You pass them all round, and as you start to get towards the end of the big pile of presents, you realise that your name isn't on any of them. Now, I don't imagine many of us would like a Christmas day where we miss out like that. Some of you who are a little bit older than our teenagers might not mind out missing on the presents because you've got plenty of socks already. But the food as well. It's pretty safe to say we don't like missing out, do we? That's why our teenagers, you're always on Facebook, on your phones. Because you don't want to miss out on what's happened. You don't want to miss that little video of a cat doing something on YouTube. Well, in our reading tonight, we meet a bunch of guys who are used to missing out. The shepherds. Now, the shepherds, they were the bottom of the pecking order when it came to social occasions. Right at the bottom of the pile. They weren't the kind of people who got invited out to things. Perhaps some of you know what that feels like. But the shepherds certainly did. But it's the shepherds who the angel speaks to in this story in rather spectacular fashion. We're told, weren't we, the whole sky was lit up with the glory of God. And quite understandably, these guys are petrified. But they get given some great news, some incredible news. Now, I realise for some of us, the whole idea of angels straight away makes us think this is exactly the kind of wacky stuff that makes me think the whole Christian faith is unbelievable. But I'm not sure we need to think that when we read the story. It's actually quite reasonable because if we believe that there might even possibly be a creator God who made us, who made the world, who made the sun, the moon, the stars, well, why on earth could he not have created angels? To me, it seems quite reasonable that he could have done that if he's the creator of everything else and he could use them to communicate to us. And that's what he does in this passage. So let's go back to our shepherds. They're out in the cold and they're scared to death. But they get this good news of great joy, not just for some people, but for all people, for people like these shepherds. And it's an incredible message. Just have a look at what the angel says, verse 10. Don't be afraid. I wonder how the shepherds reacted to that. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I've got three points about news this evening. The first one is this, good news, a royal rescuing ruler, three R's, see if you can remember them at the end. Jesus isn't described in this passage like we often like to think of him at Christmas, is he? On our Christmas cards, if we haven't got the Robin one or the snowman one, and we've got a baby Jesus one, or maybe in our nativity scenes, we usually have Jesus down as a nice, cute and cuddly little baby with rosy cheeks, a big smile and lots of friendly farmyard animals looking in on him. But the angels, they give us rather a different view. He gets a triple-barreled title, Saviour, Christ and Lord. Now, I imagine most of us know what Saviour means. Most of us know what Lord means. But what about Christ? We've got a rescuer, a Lord, a ruler, a Lord, a saviour, a rescuer, and Christ. Well, we could sum it up with royalty. You see, Christ means God's promised saving king. The Christ in the Old Testament, the old part of the Bible, is a character of royalty, a king that God promises he's going to send into the world and establish a new kingdom, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of love, a kingdom that is going to last forever and ever into eternity. Now, perhaps some of you have played that rather popular chocolate game. You know the one where you roll a dice and you get a six, and then you put on some silly clothes, don't you? You put on a woolly hat, maybe you put a scarf on, maybe you put some gloves on as well, and then the aim of the game is basically to stuff your face with as much chocolate as you possibly can. It's amazing, isn't it, what happens when somebody rolls a six? We dive across the room, we take the person out, steal the hat, then we nearly strangle them to death to get the scarf. Then we grab the fork and turn into some kind of animal, stabbing away violently at this chocolate for those few seconds of power. And then somebody else rolls a six, and it all happens again. Now, our world is a little bit like that chocolate game, don't you think? Kingdoms, rulers, they stay for a little while, but then somebody else rolls a six. And the truth about our world is there's only really one true king. And whether we choose to acknowledge it or not, that's God, the creator and king over everything. And the good news of great joy that the angels bring is of a royal rescuing ruler who's bringing in an everlasting kingdom. No one's going to be able to roll a six on this guy. It's the same message that another angel, maybe the same angel, told Mary back in chapter 1. You don't have to turn there, but let me read what he told Mary. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. It's quite an amazing description of who Jesus is. He's not a little baby to be cuddled. He's a royal king to bow down to. God's royal ruler. And crucially, the good news is he's a rescuer. You see, the Bible, all the way through the Bible, tells us we're all in great danger. We're all people who ignore God, the creator, the king over everything. We live in his world, but we ignore him, and we need a rescue. We live like little rebels in God's world. We want to make ourselves king. Have you noticed on Christmas Day, we all sit, those of us who aren't, you know, too cool, we all sit with a little paper hat round, don't we? I don't know why, really, but we do. But it's also how we live our lives. We want to be king. And that's rebellion against the Creator God. And we deserve his judgment. But the angels, they don't say Jesus is coming, this is bad news. They say it's good news of great joy. It's why we've got it plastered up at the back. Now, perhaps you turn on your TV sometimes, or you'll log on to BBC News, or ITV if you're a bit sick of BBC, I don't know. But you just long for some good news to pop up. I wonder if you could choose what good news you could have. What would you love the news presenter to say tomorrow? Good news. War is over. Finally. Forever. Or what about good news? We found a cure for cancer. Or good news, we've actually managed to make poverty history. News like that would be incredible, wouldn't it? That would be great news. But the angels give us even greater news. Good news of great joy. Brilliant news. Incredible news. Jesus has come as a royal rescuing saviour. A saviour has been born, who is Christ the Lord, plastered up over there for you. He will one day come and judge the world because we rebel against him. But he's come now to rescue us. Jesus came to take all of that judgment that rebels like us deserve. He did come as a baby, but he grew up to be a man, and he died on the cross to save us from our sins. Jesus described himself as a shepherd. Don't know if you know that. He calls himself the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Sheep who are in great danger because we've strayed from God. And we are in great danger, if you think about it, if we live our lives opposed to the God who made us. It's a very dangerous place to be. But we've got this wonderful news of a royal rescuing ruler who did come that Christmas, who lived his life and died in our place and offers us free forgiveness, a friendship with the God that we've ignored, and he offers us the chance to live in his perfect, everlasting kingdom, free from rebellion and free from all of those terrible bad news stories that we hear about all of the time on our news screens. The reason I decided we'd put up all of this bunting, we just managed to get it up in time yesterday, and it hasn't fallen down yet, but the reason we've got bunting is because we've got something to celebrate. Jesus is incredibly good news. He's God's royal rescuing ruler. And all of us have the opportunity to decide whether we're going to recognize him as that royal rescuing ruler or whether we're just going to carry on as normal. Well, we could finish there, but we're not going to. That's not the full story. The whole story of the shepherd shows us this isn't just good news for everybody. It's credible news. It's news that we can trust. I don't know if many of you know Luke's gospel very well, but Luke didn't just decide he'd make up a nice little story that primary school kids could dress up as shepherds every year in mum and dad's tea towels, the ones that they don't really like and don't really want to come back home again. They can go to someone else's house at the end of the performance. Luke didn't do it for that reason. He wanted to write a written, credible account of history. He tells us right at the start of his gospel, you can have a look later if you want, right at the start of chapter 1, he's written his book because he's carefully investigated everything from the beginning. He's a historian, and he's spoken to eyewitnesses. He's bothered with what really happened. He talks about real places. We've read some of them out this evening. Real historical figures. It's a credible story. Incredible, but credible. And in this passage, there's some more stuff to make us certain of all of those things we've just said about Jesus. So here's the second thing. We're given credible news. Credible news, a sure sign of a saviour. Have a look back at what the angel said to the shepherds again. They said, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then what the angels tell the shepherds matches up exactly to what they find. Look at verse 16. They hurried off, not in a car. I imagine they walked back then. But they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. So we've got a sign. We've got a baby in a manger, just as they were told. This good news is credible news. We've got a sure sign of this rescuing saviour. Now, I want you to imagine for a minute that I told you that I'd spoken to some of the youth leaders, we'd had a little meeting, and we decided, we'd agreed that one of the Pathfinders or TNG members, you were going to be allowed access into the tuck shop for a whole hour. You're allowed to stuff your faces with as much sugary goodness as you desire. Now, I know some of you would be very excited And then some of you would know I was probably lying. But then what if I was to give you some proof that that was the case? Some quite specific proof that you were going to be allowed into that sugary cupboard of dreams, okay? What if I told you I'd got a spare key cut and I'd hidden it for you? I told you it was down in Eastrop Park. It was in boat number 14 of the boating lake. And in that boat, you would find a white duck. And underneath that white duck's right wing, strapped with a blue piece of tape, 2 inches long, was this key. Now, some of you probably would think he's got to be joking. But what if you went down to that same boat, you found that white duck and everything else, and there was the key? Well, perhaps you'd start to believe me, wouldn't you? You were going to get your hands on a few Freddo bars. Now, the sign given to the shepherds was very specific, wasn't it? A baby born in a particular town on a particular night in quite a specific place. When you stop and think about it, what are the chances of a baby being born in Bethlehem on the same night that the angels told the shepherds about it? And what are the chances that that same baby would be wrapped in cloths, lying down in an animal's feeding trough? It's not exactly the norm, is it? It's not exactly what you'd expect, but that's what the shepherds find. What the angels have said about Jesus is true. They find this baby in a manger just as they were told. Which means we can't just palm it away and say it's some made-up rubbish. We can't just ignore it. In fact, we'd be quite silly to ignore it. It'd be a little bit like if I told the gentleman before I came down to church, I brought with me a big, ferocious grizzly bear. And he's in one of the cubicles in the gents' toilets. So after you've had your refreshments, don't go in there. Go in the left-hand side one, not the right-hand side one. But if you didn't listen to what I'd said, well, it's not going to end very nicely, is it? I have to get Cara to clean it up tomorrow morning. This good news is credible news, and it's incredibly important news. And so here's the third thing to say this evening. Don't miss out on this news. Don't miss out on it. It's news we can't ignore. I don't know what your usual reaction to Jesus is, all the Christmas stuff that goes on, whether you think he is that cute little Christmas baby on a card, or whether perhaps he's something a little bit more. But because this news is so good, almost unbelievably good, and because it's so credible, it holds up in history. It's something we can't just live our lives ignoring and writing off. Now, we might have some questions or some objections, and that's fine, but we mustn't let those things cloud us from seeing that this good news is credible news, and it's news we need to think very carefully about. We're in a much more fortunate position than those shepherds were. They took the news at face value. They just heard it, and off they went to Bethlehem to investigate. They were intrigued. They took immediate action to find out what was going on. And they found out what the angel said were true for us. It's interesting, isn't it, that when they first heard the news, they were quite terrified. But how did they end it, the story? They can't stop praising and glorifying God. They can't stop telling everybody about how incredible this news is. It's not just the shepherds, though. We've also got Mary. Look at her reaction in verse 19. It's a reaction that we see a few times in Luke. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You see, Mary, she'd heard messages from angels before. She'd heard some quite wacky, outrageous messages from angels before. She'd been told her cousin was going to give birth to a baby. And she did. She'd been told that she was going to give birth to a baby without having a husband. And she did. And this evening, as she's just given birth to the baby, and these shepherds, goodness knows what they must have smelt like and looked like, come in with this message and say, "We've just been told to come and see you by an angel." And this is what the angel said. "He's a saviour who is Christ the Lord." She must have been weighing it up and thinking it all over, putting two and two together. In fact, it says she treasured these things up, is a better way of saying what she did. She's realised the hugeness of who this baby really is. And she knows this stuff isn't made up. She's experienced it. And she's grasping just how good this good news is. But like I said, it's not just good news for the shepherds. It's not good news for Mary. The angels say it is good news for all the people. Good news for people like you and me today. We don't like missing out on things, do we? Well, this news is the one piece of news we mustn't miss out on. At the very least, it's news we need to explore and think about a little bit more. Because it isn't just good news about a better life now, a cure for cancer, or a world with no war in it. This is news about somebody who can put us right with the God who made us and give us eternal life in his everlasting kingdom of justice and love. Now, as you all enjoy Christmas this year, I do hope that Christmas Day doesn't end up with you waking up and experiencing that first bit that I was talking about. No stocking, no food, no presents. That's not a personal recollection from me, okay? So don't worry, I'm all right about that. But we'd hate Christmas to be like that, wouldn't we, where we miss out on all of those things. But most importantly, we mustn't miss out on this great news. If you're already trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus as your royal rescuing ruler, well, you can really enjoy celebrating Christmas this year, can't you? Thinking about that incredible rescue that he's brought you and knowing that it's not just some made-up story. It's a credible, trustworthy story. The shepherds saw it. Mary saw a lot more, heard a lot more. What about if you're not a Christian, though? Well, let me encourage you to think a bit more about this good news. You might like to investigate the credibility of it a little bit more. You might want to read the rest of Luke's gospel, for example, to find out more of what he has to say in his account. Well, why not? Why not chat to somebody after the service? At St. Mary's in the new year, we'll have some courses that we put on where you can ask any question. And you can find out more about this Lord Jesus, who he is, whether his news is credible. You might just like to chat to a friend that you've come along with this evening to find out a bit more. Let me sum up. It's all around the room for you. We've got good news of great joy, a saviour who is Christ the Lord. We've got credible news. This will be a sign, a baby in a manger, just as they were told. Hopefully you couldn't miss the bunting when you came in. Hopefully you won't miss out on the message that we've heard this evening. Good news of great joy. Credible news we can check out. And news we mustn't ignore. Let me just pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this great story of your Son coming into this world. We thank you that he has come as a royal, rescuing ruler, that he's come to rescue us from our rebellion against you. We thank you that it's not just made-up stuff, but that it's credible, it's trustworthy, and we can build our lives on it. And we thank you that it's for all of us. And we pray that as we go away this evening, as we enjoy Christmas, you'd help us to think about our own response to this news, to this Saviour who is Christ the Lord. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.